echo from the ages.
In the country of Elam, the highland near Persia, historians noted the first appearance of the potter's wheel and the cartwheel. Since the Elamites were nomads and lived in rough country, the wheel may have evolved from putting logs under primitive sleds so they would roll easier than they could be dragged.
This statement came from the notes of a French archaeologist who found evidence of human remains not far from the Persian Gulf, dating 20,000 years before Christ.
This is Face to the Future, a new transcribed series on this station produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command. Its conductor is Del Vina, well-known broadcaster, author, lecturer, a lady of adventure as well. It's Face to the Future. And here is our hostess, Del Vina.
Welcome again to Face to the Future. The famous sportscaster of yesteryear, Ted Husing, was one of the handiest men of all time with the spoken word. In machine gun style, exactly appropriate words poured from him in tense broadcasting situations of all kinds. He got this fluency by reading the dictionary, picking words, writing them down three times, and repeating their meaning. Once he had done this, he became remarkable among men because of his ability to store these words and meanings, then bring them up at just the right moment when they were needed. For this, he became an unparalleled phenomena in the first half of this century. The phenomena of the second half of that same century will probably be the computer, machines that can store, memorize, and recall so completely and quickly that human beings are only able to guide and program them, not perform competitively with them. Maybe you remember Art Linkletter's program some time ago.
Hello?
Hello, Shirley?
Yes?
This is Bob Cardell. I'm not quite sure what this is all about, but I was told to call you tonight at 8 o'clock.
Were you ever infatuated with the voice of a stranger on the telephone? That's what happened on that telephone call that we've recorded and played for you. And if you watched our last program, you saw a girl named Shirley Saunders who had written in to find a mate through our UNIVAC selection system. And who had...
Yes, you're right. That was the first step after the punch cards carrying the personality traits and interests of one Bob Cardell and Shirley Saunders, total strangers, were processed through a UNIVAC machine. The answer came up that they were compatible for marriage. They didn't even have to meet in a cafeteria, at a bus stop, or bump into each other in a swinging door. They had never seen each other, so Art Linkletter was ready to arrange a surprise meeting to test the infallibility of a machine in matrimonial matters.
Well, now let's go on down the audience and see if we can find your fella. Now, Shirley, here in the audience, looking out over this array of faces, we will show you several people, one of whom is your UNIVAC mate, and I want to see if you can recognize him. Now, take a look at this first man right there in the first row. Handsome young fellow, isn't he?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You recognize him at all? You don't have any feeling one way or the other?
No.
Uh-huh. Now, I'll take a look at the second young man right there. Uh-huh. Blonde, good-looking. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He might very well be. Now, we'll look at the third man up the row as a brunette. He's a big, tall, good-looking fellow. Do you feel anything special toward any one of these fellows?
Oh, I feel like kissing you.
How did it turn out? Well, they are Mr. and Mrs. Bob Cardell today, happily married and have been for many, many months. What happened here dated from 22,000 years ago when man first found the principle of the wheel and a highly sophisticated machine had successfully invaded the most basic of human relationships. To prove it, I went on a hunt for my next guest. Would you identify yourself, please?
Well, I'm Bob Cardell of the System Development Corporation in Santa Monica.
It's always difficult to establish first. But to your knowledge, Were you and your wife the first two people picked for marriage by a machine?
Well, first off, we were found to be compatible, and we were mated by a machine, but I'm not quite sure that we were the first. It's my understanding that there has been a matrimonial agency in the New York area that utilizes machine operations for the mating of people.
Being with System Development Corporation, which specializes in computer operations, the UNIVAC experience must have left its mark on you.
The engineers and scientists, which are approximately 3,500 at System Development, are engaged in the development of large-scale man-machine control systems. Possibly the largest of these is the SAGE system in the aerospace defense area. I'm sure that the current SAGE system, which is a factor against the manned bomber threat today, will be improved and sophisticated so all offensive and defensive military forces can be managed from a single console or switchboard or teams of them. This will be more true of space than it is today.
While we're used to seeing such computer operations as data processing and bookkeeping, what are some of the advanced areas you're getting into?
There are also experimental systems in use at the present time on automated teaching systems and medical diagnoses.
People are prone to talk about these things as mechanical brains or mental machines. Is this actually true?
Well, I'm afraid not. The machine in itself does nothing. It's activated by people. The information is put into the machine by people. The only function that the machine actually serves is in the systematizing, the speeding up of man's operations. It doesn't do anything but what a man could do for himself in a much longer period of time.
Is this really an extension, then, of the slide rule which helped the mathematician so much and still does?
Yes, in essence it is. The earliest form of this type of operation was the abacus.
One of the areas of doing things by machine is apt to be teaching. How will this be done?
The direction that we are going in at this time and the attitude we like to take is that actually the automated teaching systems will perform the function of making it possible for accelerated students to progress faster by offering them more advanced tutorage on a specific subject. There was a discussion not too long ago by some of our leading educators in regard to this specific subject. The outline procedure at that time was to maintain as much as possible a normal classroom atmosphere for a specific length of time. At the end of this time, the students would go into soundproof booths in which these computerized tutoring systems would be activated in connection with their various learning attitudes and the rapidity with which they grasped the subject.
How about the possibilities of medical diagnosis with machines? How would it be done?
Well, this is quite an extensive program here at System Development Corporation. Possibly the easiest way to explain it is to give you a little word picture of a typical operation that might occur in a computerized medical diagnosis. If you had a particular ailment, you went to your doctor and would describe the symptoms that you had at that particular time. Prior to this, all of the various symptoms and syndromes and all the rest of it that goes into it would have been fed into a centralized computer. At the time that you described your particular symptoms, they would be made up on an electronic data coding machine and transmitted to this central computer, at which time it would pull out the pertinent information about a particular illness and actually provide you with the combined opinion of all the world's best medical knowledge and transmit it back to your doctor's office to aid him in restoring you to health. ¶¶
may take men and women to build them, men and women to run them, but the age of the machine is still in its infancy. It will change the face of the world, watch the face of the world, and provide greater leisure for all the people. Since that youngster of yours who will enter kindergarten this fall will be 45 in the year 2000, he will benefit from and use machines in ways not generally known today. Bob, what will machines or computers be doing in the year 2000?
At that time, we'd keep records from on everyone, from the cradle to the grave. These would include their medical records, all of the pertinent birth information, their employment records, educational background, whether they had run afoul of the law at any time. These would all be centrally stored in computers. At birth, each person would be assigned a code and card number. And at any subsequent time, by simply feeding this code or card number into the centralized computer, it would print out every last thing that was involved in his background. Then we go into other larger areas. Our entire defense project, what we might call an aerospace program, would be entirely automated. The stop and go button on every machine would have to be activated by a human finger.
Far, then, are machines apt to go in governing the conduct of man, ruling his world, making his life better or worse? Will things go so far that a little dust in his punch card for medical diagnosis will change what ails him from measles to mumps? Or if he inserts a card a little cockeyed, which will take him to Aunt Minnie's house on that future computerized transportation, is he apt to wind up at the downtown drugstore instead? Apparently not, because the human factor, the ability to break a programmed move when error is detected, will always have to be there. The old historians and biologists tell us that the greatest evolutionary breakthrough of all was man's brain. It has been man's brain which has given us a degree of machine-produced mentality, with which, even though the brain moves more slowly, it is still required as a shepherd.
This has been Face to the Future, a transcribed series on this station produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command and featuring Delvina with her parade of interesting guests. Be with us next time as we put our face to the future.